Hello, everyone. I'm Daniel from Latinos Educating Against Deception and the Latino Free Minds podcast. I'd like to introduce you all to the Holy Roast, amazing coffee that's doing amazing things. They're a Christian conservative and charitable coffee company that makes delicious small batch roast coffees. And best of all, they donate $1 of every bag to organizations that help change lives. For instance, their pro-life blend is a medium roast coffee from Peru that donates $1 to charities that help save babies, while their Patriot Blend is a medium roast Guatemalan coffee that donates to organizations that protect our American rights. Go check out theholyroastco.com and order some of their delicious coffee today. Welcome back to Latino Free Mind. This is episode number 9. And today we're going to have a guest, our first guest, Art Del Cueto, who is the Vice President of the Border Patrol Council. So I'm looking forward to this conversation, the kind of things that he's going to be able to speak about as far as what's going on in the border. And just, you know, I'm really excited about this one. What do you think, Danny?
Yeah, looking forward to it, too. It's one of those things where we need to hear the truth, you know, of what is really going on at the border. Mm-hmm. I know that we get a lot of information from politicians and news networks, but, you know, it's going to be interesting, you know, getting the information, you know, from someone that's actually involved in what's happening in the border. So I'm really looking forward to it.
For sure. Yeah, you know, get I think that firsthand people with, you know, real life hand firsthand experience at the border, I think those kind of conversations are real important because, you know, the media sways it one way or the other, right? They both have their agendas, and, you know, I don't think they're fully giving you the entire picture. So, you know, it'd be good to have someone like him on and, you know, kind of get some of these things, you know, as clear as possible. You know what I mean? Like what it's really like.
Yeah. There's, you know, they use the term bullhorn. So, you know, you've got the politicians and their bullhorn is the media. So we can't trust everything that they tell us. So we have to verify it. I always like using the term trust it, but verify. And yeah. In this case, I don't trust them. So we're going to verify.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, doing a little preparation for this interview. It was a little interesting because it's writing down thoughts, questions, and stuff like that. I could see how just one question can evolve into a subject where it would take a whole entire episode. So mm-hmm. I'm interested to see, you know, how many different directions we can go in this interview, you know?
Yeah. That we're exactly right. Where the conversation leads us to. So, you know, I'm looking forward to, I'm pretty sure I'm going to learn a lot of things I didn't know, you know, as of this moment. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that.
I think we're going to learn a lot of things. I think there's a lot of blind spots when it comes to the border situation, especially on a daily basis, you know, what happens out there. So, yeah it's going to definitely be a learning experience for sure.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Blind spots.
Yeah. It's one of those things where we want to uncover if what we're being told is the actual truth and find out what those blind spots are. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of things that they aren't telling us. So, you know, we need to know, you know, those pieces. Those are pieces of the puzzle in order for us to have like an educated, if you will,
or just opinion a clear about picture. The situation.
Yeah, a clear picture. So we, you know, what, instead of making assumptions or believing, you know, what we're being told, you know, so it actually paints a picture so that we can have a better picture of what's going on in a and it'll clear up our position, or, you know, our individual positions of what we feel about the border situation.
For sure. Well, without further ado, we're going to come on with Art next. All right. So we're here with Art Del Cueto, the vice president of the Border Patrol Council. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, you know, thank you for coming on as well. Like I had told you when we spoke, it's, you know, we want to talk to people that have firsthand experience at the border. And, you know, we get a lot of things in the media, but they're swayed, right, to certain directions on both sides.
Right.
And we kind of just want, you know, to like the real deal, if you will. You know, we're trying to learn as we go, but we also want people to learn with us. So that's kind of the purpose of, you know, our podcast, what we're trying to do. And you know, we had a couple episodes ago, we were talking about the border, and, you know, we thought, hey, it'd be good to have someone that actually has that experience. So, you know, so it's not just us talking about what we see, but like also the things that maybe people don't hear or see at all.
Right. Right. I appreciate you guys having me on. I've done a bunch of different news medias that have actually gone on, and they ask me all these questions. And, you know, I always tell them, this is what it comes down to. And I mean, and I'm not trying to say that I'm the expert, because by no means am I the expert, but I can tell you that there's a lot of people out there that are talking about it that aren't even close to even half of what I know. Right. And I'm not, and I don't know at all. So my basis, I was born in Mexico, but I migrated to the country legally. My dad was legally here in the United States. My dad wasn't born in the United States. My mom wasn't born in the United States. But at the same time, I came legally, and I grew up on the border. I was born on the border. I was raised on the border. I worked on the border. I'm living on the border. You know, my whole life has been here on the border. So it does get very upsetting to see people talk about the border issue that perhaps came on here, you know, 2-3 times. They did a photo shoot, and, you know, by a fence. And that's it. But there's been sometimes, I'll be the first to admit it, there's been sometimes when I've spoken to reporters that have said, no, you don't have to go all the way down to the border. Let's just go somewhere where there's desert scene to make it look like we're in the border. So, I mean, that's just what's frustrating. So I appreciate, you know, getting the opportunity to talk about it. There's so many things that are going on right now when it comes to border issues and you know, controlling our nation's borders. And first off, right offhand, I like to tell people, I am 100% pro-immigration. But there's a difference between being pro-immigration and allowing lawlessness out at our borders. And that's what's frustrating. And I know, I think both of you guys are in California. Mm-hmm. I just finished listening to the congressional hearing today. And both, there was a congresswoman and a congressman from California that were talking about the importance of allowing, you know, people to come from Latin American countries. And they said the key word really ticked me off is, you know, we need these people in this country because they're working in the farming community. They have to pick the crop that you should be thankful, because that's what they did, you know, the food on your table during the COVID pandemic. And look, that honestly upsets me because, and I'd like to just apologize to the congressman, because my dad was a doctor. My mom was a teacher. My sister, who I'm very proud of, holds a triple master's from the University of Arizona. And, nice. You know, and people can look at my record on my own. We didn't come to this country to work in the fields and pick, you know, strawberries. And I think that's what upsets me, is that's what they think. They think, hey, allow people to come in from Latin countries because we need to pick our strawberries. And no, that's not what we're coming to do, man. You know what I mean? We should embrace this culture as well. Do not forget your heritage, but embrace, you know, the laws of this country. That's, I think, what it comes down to. That's what, you know, a melting pot is. That is what, you know, the American dream is. That's what, you know, upholding this country's laws are. And, you know, in the words of my father, if the country we left was as good as say it is, then we never left.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you kind of touch exactly what our, if you want to call what we're trying to do an agenda, is take away that manipulation, because that's what we're being, that's what's happening with all the media outlets, politicians, sports, celebrities, And that was our very first episode, is understanding that we've been manipulated. And everything that you're talking about right now are things that they aren't telling us. You know, for example, your family, you know, come from a family where your parents are doctors, they have masters and things of that nature, is that, you know, they try to manipulate us so that we can go down one road and don't veer off.
Right.
So, you know, and the purpose of talking to you is unveiling that manipulation, if you will, and getting a better understanding of what's really going on in the border.
Yeah, they want to put you in a box. I don't think that they should allow, you should allow people to do that. Nobody should be put in a box. Look, does racism exist in America? Oh, absolutely. It would be stupid to say it doesn't. But mm-hmm. I don't remember ever being exposed to that type of racism, because maybe if I have, I stop. Away. I go into a room with my head held up high, I shake people's hands tightly. I let them know how I feel. I talk straight to them in the eye. That's always the way I was taught. I don't walk anywhere with a chip on my shoulder. I am the chip, you know, if anything. So. Yeah. It is what it is, but you're right. Right now, we're having a lot of problems on our nation's borders, and because people are failing to address it. And I think both sides of the aisle are as much to blame for it. You know? They mm-hmm. talk about, hey, we need to. This is what they do. So they've concentrated so much on talking about what to call it. Right? So you have one group of people that are saying, let's call it an invasion. Let's call it chaos. Now, another group of people that you can't call it chaos, you can't call it. That's not humanitarian, race. I don't know how that is race, right? But they'll sit there, both sides, and they'll argue, should we call it this? Should we not call it this?
How about we call it what it is?
Right. But see, the problem is while they're doing that, arguing what to call it, they're not fixing the problem.
Yeah.
Exactly.
As an example, so I'm sure some of your listeners yourselves, you guys may remember almost a year ago, a lot of talk that there were 16,000 individuals from Haiti.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was 16,000 Haitians underneath a bridge. Everyone was talking about it. You had major news media going out there. You had all the were out there taking pictures, filming, seeing it, saying, look, what a disaster. We have 16,000 people from Haiti. Well, this is what people don't talk about. While everyone was being distracted and you were shown the visual of the 16,000 individuals underneath the bridge, there were over 20,000 people that came into the United States and got way under in the border of Arizona. So, you know, everyone has 16,000, but I think the bigger concentration is people that are coming in and getting away. And yeah. That's something that I continue to stress. The gotaways are a number that, you know who walks into your home, right? You open the door, or, you know, if they come to your home, you know they've come in. Sometimes you'll throw a party and you'll have that uninvited guest or that uncle or aunt just can't stand. But, you know, your mom said, hey, she's family, got invited to the party. Okay. And we all have that. But you know what the problem is? Imagine now you not being home at all and not knowing who actually came in home.
Mm. Yeah. That's
the bigger problem that people don't talk about. Those are a lot of say, hey, the gotaways. What are the gotaways? Well, the gotaways are just that. They're people that came in. You don't know who they are. You don't know where they're from. You don't know what.
They're not vetted. And we've used this analogy, and I think it was the last episode, right? It's like, would you just let anybody into your home without vetting them, without knowing who they are? And a lot of these politicians and these.
There are, Dan. That's the problem with this, with the gotaways. They don't have any system to know how many people actually have come in. So that makes it worse. And to give you more of a way to think of it, that people don't even think of this, Border Patrol has arrested people from 186 different countries. So it ain't just Latinos coming through the border.
Yeah. And to me, that's one of the things that, you know, the border gets misrepresented in that aspect as well, as far as they make it all about Latinos. They make it about Mexicans that, oh, we don't want Latinos here at all. We hate Mexicans. We want them out. And it's like, it's not about that. You know, I was looking up some data a couple weeks ago, and it said that I don't know how accurate this number is, but maybe you might know. It's they caught, I think, 98 suspected terrorists at the southern border. Last year,
know of that we're on a terrorist watch list. So that's
yeah, okay.
What they, yeah, for last fiscal year, correct.
And it's like you're saying, right? Okay, that's 98, but like, what if they didn't catch them all? You know, how do we?
Over half a million gotaways last fiscal year. Who are they? And you know, this is why it's and you're right. You're hitting the right points, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because it is so easy to cross into the United States right now, from the country, claim asylum, knowing you're going to get released. You're going to get a court date somewhere around 85 months from now. That's like over 6 years, right? That's the reality that people don't talk about. Okay. Now, if it's that easy to come across, turn yourself in, and you're going to get released, can you just imagine that over half a million that actually did, that took the extra mile not to get detected? Can you imagine what their intentions are or what their real criminal records are? That's what's
insane. And you're kind of touching a point that we were talking about before you got on is that in the news, we hear this administration, you know, set these rules and made these changes, signed an executive order, and they make it seem as if they can change the rules right away and make a difference and make an impact. But from your experience, is it that simple? Is it that easy to make those changes?
So unfortunately, what they do is they pass different policies. So it's not, it wasn't executive order. They just say, hey, we're not going to practice these policies. We're going to use these other policies. I will say that the very first day that President Biden was going to get sworn into office, right? So let's say the day he was going to get sworn, that midnight, okay, there was a group of 300 immediately crossed in Arizona. And it was overnight. The groups, you know, they started coming overnight. And you would ask them, you know, why now? And they were very—they're very vocal, and they'll tell you, "Hey, look, the reason we're coming now is because you know you have a president right now." And this is what they said. They would tell me in Spanish, "You know, we heard your president say that we come ask for asylum." It was that simple, and it was that quick overnight.
Wow!
Yeah. So that's what he's saying in the debate.
Because they know at that point they realize that they can flood the immigration and the detention facilities. So this is the difference. President Trump, what he was doing was when people were coming, they had to present their actual asylum case and then get sent. And they said, okay, we're going to look at your case, but you're going to have to wait in Mexico. Because the law actually says that you ask for asylum in the first country that you step outside of your country. So that's the way it should be. The difference is that Mexico is giving out permits and allowing these people to travel through their country knowing that they're going to eventually cross into the United States. Now that a question that I've always talked about, and people, they cringe, especially my friends. They say, oh, dude, don't say that. That can get you in trouble. Well, I mean, you got to tell the truth, right? What happens? You have criminal cartels that are operating in Mexico, and everyone knows, not a surprise, they bribe a lot of the law enforcement and Mexican officials in Mexico. So what happens?
We've talked about that in the past podcast together, so that's no news.
They allow that for vida, so they know that. So what do they say? They say, you know what? I'm not going to stop this flow because I know they're going to come across. They're going to give money to cartels. The cartels are going to give money to the law enforcement. The law enforcement will trickle down. At the end, it trickles down to everyone.
Yeah. And again, this is something that we talked about in a past episode, is the involvement with the cartels. You know, we're in a sense, we're allowing them to conduct business, you know, with the open borders.
Right.
Right.
You know, it's a huge domino effect. People talk and they say, oh, you know, this poor person is just coming to better their life. And I agree. They're just coming to try to better their life. But now let's look at the laws. So first and foremost, if you have economic issues, that does not fall under a economic problem. That's where people I heard the earlier, and there was a judge that was talking from El Paso and talking to these people all the time. They're just going to get a job and better themselves. I understand that. But unfortunately, that's not an asylum issue. Your economic is not an issue. So under Trump, what they were being told is you have to remain in Mexico until you get called for your actual asylum claim. Overnight, the Biden administration takes over and says, you no longer have to wait in Mexico. So what does that do? That everyone who just cross and say, all I got to do is say I have an asylum issue. I will be released in that state. Then show up. And if Democrats Congress way out of Texas that said that out of all these people coming across, only 7% show up to their court date. And even after 7% show up, he said 2% are actually true asylum claims.
Wow.
Which means the other that have come into the United States, been released, they don't even have an asylum claim, and we don't even expect them to show up in court, and you'll never know anything about them again. And that's what's very, very frustrating.
Well, those statistics are very scary, because if you quantify them in, the amount of people that cross, like, for example, that you were talking about earlier, and then the ones that show up, that is scary. And one of the things that we talked about, my parents were also born in Mexico, and my father came first, right, to establish himself. At that time, when they were giving with Ronald Reagan,
amnesty.
And they actually had to prove that, you know, they were an asset to the country, right? So they were paying their bills, they were paying, utilities, things of that nature, and held a job, right? And in other words, they were being an asset to the country. So then they had to prove that they were not criminals as well, right? They weren't going to give them amnesty if they didn't fit all the criteria. So when these people don't show up to their court dates, what can we assume? Is that they're not upstanding citizens and they're not going to be able to, you know, prove that. So, you know, we really don't know if they're an asset to the country or if they're not.
Right, and you're saying all the right points, and realistically, there's no way that they haven't figured out how to track them. Look, during the Obama administration, right, so I'm going way back, but the Obama administration, that's when we had the influx of unaccompanied juveniles. I don't know if you guys remember. Mm-hmm. Remember, that's when they were talking about, they waited until Trump got in office, and then they started saying, oh, look at the kids in cages.
Right? Yeah.
That was under the Obama administration, and not to defend the Obama administration, but I'm going to tell you, they were not kids in cages. Okay, there were detention facilities that had to be made at a very fast pace. A lot of unaccompanied juveniles that were coming in. So they were put in this big warehouse, and it was taken at FEMA trailers. We have medical staff, everything was there, and they were separating according to gender and age. Now, this is something people don't talk about. A lot of those kids, they were 15, 16 years old, right? And they were considered unaccompanied. Now, agents at the time had time with these kids because the housing that was separate, the females from the males, all that separated them, that chain link fence. There was times when there was some, you know, back and forth sexual conduct going on through the chain link fence. So agents had to put plywood in there in between. And even then, there was a couple times where they would carve holes into the plywood. Now, and then similar to a prison mentality, those of you that, you know, they've seen prison movies, or, you know, people that may have been incarcerated, where you have the leader of the cell block and all that started happening with a lot of these individuals that they were minors. So we would see one minor, and it's simple. They would take away the cookies from the other kids, and were kind of the shot call. So, I mean, it wasn't regular. Well, these were kids that have been exposed to criminal elements. Some of them themselves have been involved in gangs already and been involved in the criminal elements. But yes, they're kids. But now, after the current administration, where are these kids? Because they're all full-grown adults now. You know, that's been, you know, 6 years now. Over six years. They're all adults. No one can tell you where they're at. They need to keep track of them. So obviously, you know, they're not going to be able to keep track of the other 2 million coming under this administration. And that's my problem. That's my point. Who are they? You don't know. Another big issue, these individuals can actually have a criminal record in the country. But when they come through here, if you print them and you have no record of them or no record check, then what you're doing is you are potentially releasing an individual that have numerous crimes in their country already in
America.
Wow.
Yeah. You were talking. Do you have a question, Dan? Or
no, no. Yeah. I mean, well, kind of one of the questions I did want to ask, and in a sense, is kind of related because you brought up Obama, and it's kind of like a curveball. But is there anything positive from this administration as it concerns the border? Is there anything positive that they've done? Because I mean, from the outside looking, it doesn't look like they have. But right. You know,
so this is the difference, right? When President Obama was in his first term, he did a little bit more when it came to border security than he did on the second term. But this is what I believe happened. Once second term, well, you're not third, right? So at that point, you don't have to do anything to please everybody. You don't care anymore. And I think that's where we're at currently with the administration, is perhaps they realized they might hit one term and you went whatever we want, it's not going to matter to the constituents. But right now, I think, honestly, and people ask me, like, why would you do that? Why do you think they would do that? Why would they, you know, just open the borders? You know, they obviously, they deny it, but they're denying it just to deny it. See the video. They know that there's chaos at the border. They know, right? And they're not stupid. I would think they were. They see what the chaos is. At the same time, is they truly can't see past their nose, and they're so angry with the last administration that they really don't care. They just wanted to get rid of everything that the last administration did, and I think a lot of the issues that the last administration did, especially the Remain in Mexico, that was removing that. This administration just created that magnet, but they don't see it. So what they do is, getting back to the point of what portrayed in the media, they talk about it in the media. Look, it's a humanitarian thing. I heard it today. Mm-hmm. They kept on talking about humanitarian, that. But all it is that they're coming for economic reasons. That's not an asylum claim. Or they'll say, leave their country because of gangs, and they're coming into the United States because they want to get away from their gangs. But they're going to live in communities that are infested with gangs, unfortunately, also in America, right?
Right.
So those are the problems that I continue to see. So it's not that simple. Now, this is the main. They're not seeing past their nose, and they're not seeing the big picture. What is it that's happening? They're coming here to form a better. There's individuals that are coming here that, you know, they don't really have bad intentions. They just want to make money and go back home, perhaps. However, they're turning themselves in to criminal cartels. So now they're being utilized as a tool for these cartels to be able to do the big picture of bringing the product. How do they do it? They turn themselves in because they run the border. The cartel runs the border. People cringe when I say that, but they turn themselves in. The cartels determine where people cross. Once they determine that, they send a group into one area, knowing that's going to have agents go to that area. They're going to have to deal with transporting, processing, sometimes medical watches. All the while, there's other gaps in our southern border. That's when the cartels are now taking advantage to bring fentanyl, methamphetamines, and heroin into the country. And here you go, you know, you hear these people say, oh, well, it's not happening between the ports. When the pandemic was going on, the ports of entry were closed. They were only open for essential traffic, usually just citizens. But essentially, they were closed, and the traffic was very, very. But we still saw in the United States a rise in death in fentanyl doses. We still saw more drugs in the streets. And we still saw the price of drugs not go up in the street. Now, I'm smart enough to know, and everyone else should figure it out, that if drugs aren't coming into the United States, the
price, the supply was there.
The price goes up. If the price isn't going up, what does that tell you?
It's the getting in.
Coming in. And they're obviously not. All that is what happens when you allow that magnet of, we're going to allow anyone that asks for asylum to ask. Every other, they figure it out and say, how can I gain up? And that's what we've been continuously with this administration. They wanted to do one thing, but what they did is that that snowballed into allowing the cartels to just continue to do more chaos.
Yeah, you know, you touched on the humanitarian issue, and we were talking in the last episode about Cesar Chavez and in his situation. So you have the farmers that were going over and grabbing illegal immigrants to, you know, farm the lands while they were protesting on this side, right? And they were protesting for civil rights, human rights, right? But at the same time, they were bringing over illegals, paying them a lesser wage, and the working conditions were probably worse, right? So as a person, you have to decide, which one is it? Are you going to stand on the side that's going to support, you know, civil rights and people protesting for civil rights? Or are you going to be okay for, you know, farmers to go out and get illegal immigrants and abuse them? So you have to have a hard stance. And I think that's what people fail to see, is that in order to have that, you have to have a secure border. Yeah.
So Daniel, or else I was in
they're
front
playing
of you.
Off of both sides.
Daniel, if I was in front of you right now, I'd hug you and buy you a Pepsi. Okay. You hit the nail on the head. You see all these people that are protesting in favor of open borders, and they use the Cesar Chavez logo to do it. And it's just, I'm like, Cesar Chavez was against illegals coming from another country taking the work of the here. Plain and simple. Stop using that. It's just like the people that are persecuted for their, you know, sexual preferences and all that at the protests, wearing the Che Guevara shirts. That drives me too. The first one they kill, you know?
Yeah.
You're in there. And you know what? It's refreshing to hear you guys say that, because I think more people need to hear that message. More people need to open up their eyes and see the reality of what's going on. And turn into a hero. At least some history.
Yeah. Did you have something
to add? No, because when he was talking about, when you were talking about the fentanyl and all that, and that's why, to me, I don't look at the southern border like a Latino issue per se. I look at it as an issue for the country, because, yeah, we are dealing with drugs, right? Especially fentanyl, which, mm-hmm. you know, it's from what we've seen, is deadly. So
it's legal. Yeah.
It's bad. And, you know, one thing that I don't know if this is true, but one thing that I've seen is a lot of the fentanyl coming in through Mexico is actually from China. Now, I don't know the full details of that, but that's kind of what I've heard a few times. Again, makes it not a Latino specific issue, but right. you know, they use the border. If it's open, if it's wide open, and anybody could come in, like you said, if the supply isn't dropping and the prices are staying the same, that's letting you know that these things are just coming in easy. It's unfortunate, right. but that's what's happening.
Yeah, right. What happens is, so the raw product is brought in from China, and it's brought in through the South and into America. But it comes through, and I was wondering myself, because we've been seeing a lot of groups of people from Cuba that are coming across now, and people from Russia that have been coming across. So then I found out that a lot of these individuals, they'll fly into Ecuador. And I guess Ecuador doesn't ask for the passport. And then once they get to Ecuador, they bust themselves all the way through all, you know, South America, Central America, into Mexico, and then all the way up to our southern border. And it's the same thing. I think that's how a lot of this product is sometimes coming across, is, you know, just they sneak it in. And you can just have the smallest amount, and you can make so much more out of it. I think that's why it's so easily to come up, to bring across, and they're, you know, taking advantage of it. But you're right. I mean, it's deadly, and people don't understand that. And, you know, the drug dealers, this is what I say, the drug dealers that are bringing drugs into our country, the sex traffickers, and there is sex trafficking going on. The ones that are bringing in, you know, using the minors so they can find the loopholes into the United States system and come through here in immigration. Those groups, they don't care what side of the aisle you're on. They could give a care less whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an Independent or the Green Party, or I don't know how many else there are, right? They don't care, though. All they care is bringing their product across, knowing well that they're going to make money and take it back south. That's the reality. And everyone here continues to fight over what political party is doing what. You know, look, we need to bond together as Americans and say, this is the country we want to live in. This is a better country that we came from. If you want to actually be a melting pot, that's what it is. It's a melting pot, which means we all feed off of each other and we learn off of each other and we're able to, you know, continue our future in America. It's not about just, hey, just defend my culture and forget about yours, or I'm going to, you know, push my culture on you. It's not about that. And it's not even about race. I tell people, I was speaking earlier today, illegal is not a race. Look, I love America, but you know what? I like to eat Mexican food. You know, I like Mexican music. That doesn't make me less American, but that doesn't make me more Mexican either. It's just, you know, this is country to respect. I love this country. I love what it's given me, what it's given my family. And I think the way we preserve that is through legal immigration and through respecting the laws of this country, or else we're no better for leaving.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
You know, before I lose this thought, you touched on the facilities, right? So when you get an influx of people coming up, right, like you said, you know, at certain administrations, they know they, in a sense of a word, have a green light to come up, right? What type of support does the Border Patrol agency get as far as funds, you know, facilities, supporting you guys to do your jobs? Is that something that's lacking, or do you have that support there?
So just recently, or quite some time ago, just not too long ago, there was the whipping incident that everyone talks about. I'm sure you guys have seen it.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with horses, horses sometimes to be trained, we use what's called split reins. And by we, I mean we people that know how to ride a horse. Okay? I don't mean we the Border Patrol. I don't speak on behalf of the Border Patrol. But so what's used is split reins. So it's one on the right, one on the left, and they're split. That's just what they are. And they assist you in being able to, you know, to steer the horse. And at times, you're able to spin the front of that rein in front of the horse's face to prevent him from pulling that way and going towards something on that area. That is what the agent was doing. And the agency knew about it. And let's be clear. The agency knew about it right away. The Secretary of Homeland Security knew about it. So if he knew about it, he told the president, and the president knew about it. But instead of saying, this is what they were doing, within policy, I know it may look bad, but I'm going to explain to you what happened. Instead of doing that, the agency, the administration, and the leadership, they came out, and what did they say? They said, what these agents did was horrific, and they're going to pay for what they did. Knowing they were innocent, they portrayed that picture out to the American public and said, you know, pretty much said, hey, they're guilty, we're going to get them for something. And I could understand, it's not right, but I could understand if they didn't know the truth. But months later, we find out that they knew that they didn't do nothing, and they still said that to the American public. I mean, that's the problem. The agents that are out there putting their lives on the line each day in and day out on the line, they do not have the back of this administration, and they don't, frankly, they don't feel they have the back of this agency.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I remember seeing that, and you know, when that picture came out, and something that I kept saying was people that ride horses were like, no, those are reins. That's not a whip at all. It's not even close. So like you said, right. And then how it came out afterwards that they knew pretty much the whole time.
Right.
Yeah, he wasn't whipping the Haitian. It was just the picture, right? If you get the right angle on a picture like they did there, you can use it to manipulate everything. And that's kind of one of the points that, like Danny said earlier, that we've been trying to make from the beginning, is they're going to manipulate the data, the facts and all that, so it fits their narrative. So it fits what it is that they're trying to push. That's why the border gets misrepresented so much.
Yeah. I heard one of the congressmen from California earlier today, and he was talking about the fentanyl that was coming in, and he gave out the statistics and the numbers of what's being apprehended. And he said, look, this is what's being apprehended. This is all that's happening. These are the only people that are coming through. And he gave statistics on the arrests. Well, another congressman came up and said, you know, the statistics you're given are just the statistics at the port of entry. He wasn't giving the statistics between the ports because that's not convenient for him. You know, it's easier to say, hey, these are the only arrests. And out of these arrests, this is what he said. Out of these arrests, there was only three or four Mexican nationals that were arrested. All the rest were U.S. citizens. Well, of course, because they were coming through the port of entry. But outside of the port of entry, that's where the majority of drugs are coming. And it's not just, and you know, this is the very hard position that I sometimes I'm in, you know, because I'm Hispanic and you guys, I'm sure, get it all the time. You know, you get called a traitor, malinchista, traidor, vendido. Vendido is the favorite one that I always get.
Vendido.
They always,
if I'm a vendido, where's the money?
I know, right? Where's the money?
When I spoke and they were screaming vendido, I thought they were calling me bandido for a second there. And I was like, what? Then I figured it out. But they say it because of some of the wording we said. And I'm tired of going back and forth, but I think it's something we need to do. The famous speech that President Trump said that, you know, the way they interpret it is, he said, you know, that you're Mexican and you're a drug dealer and you're a rapist and a criminal. And I was like, yes. All right, let's break down what he said. First, he said, the majority of those coming into the country illegally. That's what he said. So now you have people coming into the country legally, and then you have those illegally. And then you have the majority of those. So that's not all Mexicans. Let's get that straight, okay? Then he says the majority of those coming, I will stress again, illegally, are criminals. That's not a lie. 60% of them have criminal history. They're rapists and drug smugglers. Are a lot of them rapists and drug smugglers? A lot of them are drug smugglers. Some of them are rapists. Not all Mexicans, just that majority of those that are coming in illegally. But from that statement, this is taken off like a weed. And even if you break it down to people and you explain it, they'll sit there and they just like they continue to argue it. And it's frustrating because you get to a point of how do you continue to win an argument if people keep changing the goalpost? They change the question. And it's like you sit there and you're like, bro, I can tell you the sky is blue all day long. But if you just want to argue with me and tell me that it's purple, I'm never going to change your mind. And that's frustrating.
But that's the thing is that we've talked about it before, is that it's a divide and conquer. So if they have us all together, we're gonna come together. We're going to have actual conversations and figure it out and see how we're being manipulated. If we're split, we're not going to talk to each other. What you're talking about, I remember it like if it was yesterday when that whole thing happened. My thought was, well, let me hear the entire speech that he said, right? Because you've talked about it before in news networks. They've been sued because they manipulated audio, snipped it together, and made it sound like something that it wasn't. And that's a fact, you know? So if they're doing that and they don't care that they're getting sued in order to manipulate us, imagine what they do with speeches and snippets that they give us, right? It's once the damage is done, the damage is done. Right. And whether they get sued and pay, you know, thousands of dollars or even millions of dollars, their agenda is already done. You know, that's it's been out there. People are already talking about it. They divided the people. Now we're not talking. Now we're not interacting and trying to figure exactly what the manipulation is about. So and I think that's like
you make a good point. I was talking to Danny earlier. We were on the phone earlier this day, and I was telling him, you know, I did an interview with a news reporter, and it was on paper, and it was a Hispanic news media, and you know, I gave him quotes and we talked about different issues, and I didn't think anything of it. A couple of weeks later, somebody sends me the article of what I was quoted on, and some of the things that she was quoting me on were things that I'd never said. So I immediately contacted her, but I contacted her via text message. I didn't call her on the phone. I wanted it in text. So I text her. And I said, hey, I just read this article that you wrote. It's the interview you gave me. I didn't say these things. And she responds and she says, well, realistically, since I didn't put quotation marks next to what I said you said, I really didn't, not really saying you actually said it. And I said, no, you're giving the perspective that I said it. And I said, and that's a problem. I said, I have a problem with that. And she responds via text. I still have the texts. Okay. She says to me, you need to understand that sometimes we need to move the wording around. That way we can sell the story.
Yeah.
That's what she told me.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
It's shock.
Yeah. That's the thing that we've, you know, from when we started doing this, that we've maintained the message is like, everybody, don't just give what the little clip that they give you. Go watch the whole thing and then make up your mind. If you end up still, let's say you still believe what it is that they said and you watch the whole clip, whatever, you did your part. You got to that conclusion on your own. And that's one thing that we've encouraged everybody is do your research, figure it all out. Don't just fall for those little clips, those little quotes, little headlines here and there. Go see, you know, we have YouTube now, like we were talking about earlier, technology, right? You can watch anything in its entirety nowadays, pretty much. And, you know, so we encourage everybody, go check it out. And then if you end up landing in the same spot, then it is what it is. You did your part. But don't just go with that conclusion that's basically being assigned to you because they are manipulating, you know, a lot of the stuff that they do report.
But I think, Danny, a lot of times these people, they want to believe that. They want to believe that, hey, they're right. The people that are telling them are right. You're the bad guy. You're the enemy. And they want to push forward with that because I've seen it many times. Look, I did a couple of radio interviews out here in Tucson. There was a time when a Border Patrol agents went to the university and they were chased down the hall by a group of students and a couple of professors. And they were yelling at them. They were cussing at them in Spanish. They followed them all the way to their vehicle. They walked down the parking lot, continued to cuss at them in Spanish. They were saying, you know, all the bad things that, you know, you guys know, we've heard them, you know, the bad words in Spanish, but talk about your mother. And they continued to say them. The agents get in the vehicle. They're driving down the road and they're still screaming at them, these things. So I was interviewed about it and I was saying, you know, that's horrific. But a lot of these people, they take advantage of that because they see someone in uniform. And that they know that the person in uniform, anything that they do to defend themselves or to lash out, they're going to be in the wrong. And this is what I said. If I'm in plain clothes, right, just and anyone that's in plain clothes, and you have that incident of someone following you through a parking lot, screaming, cussing you and saying all that things, at the end of the day, you're probably going to get punched in the throat, right? That's
right.
What I said. So that was my quote. Dude, you should have seen it. The next day, they said the vice president of the union was saying that he wanted to punch college girls in the throat. And wow. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, talk about switching it and manipulating it. Then they had a double D's. That's what I'm going to call you because then I don't know which one. they were actually.
That's a good one.
They were actually, they had a rally the next day at the university.
Wow.
And they put in big letters on the wall, Art de Cueto quote, I would have punched them in the throat. And they'll manipulate it. They'll switch it around. This. So, I mean, to this day, I bet you I'll run into people that they'll hear that and say, you wanted to punch people in the throat. And I'm like, no, I didn't.
Wow. Yeah. And that's yeah, exactly what we're talking about. They'll do that. And, you know, just to kind of tie it back to what you guys are talking about with Trump, right? And his that first when he announced and he said all that stuff about illegal immigrants coming, like that's all it took. Just the manipulation with that was boom. Everybody, a lot of Latinos automatically gave him zero chance. And to this day, like you said, you could tell them the sky is blue. They won't buy it.
I have family that'll sit there and I'll flip out to my family members. I said, let's pause it word for word. And they'll just look at me and go, no me digas, no quiero. And it's like, then you don't want to know, man. You know, if you want to live ignorant.
The lines were drawn. You know, the lines were drawn and you had to pick a side. That's the way that it was done. And what we always talk about is obviously, you know, thinking pragmatically, you know, using common sense and things of that nature. But it seems like going through the school system, that's taken away. Now, you can't think of it. You can't think of it logically. You have to make up your mind right now. Which side are you going to be on? And as Latinos, growing up here in the United States. We talked about it before. The assumption is that you're a Democrat. And I always give the example is that you're growing up and I'm like, I'm a Democrat. Someone asked me, why are you a Democrat? And I started thinking about it and I was like, actually, I don't know. If, now that I think about it, I kind of fall over on this side more than on this side. So when you have that mentality, you really don't know what why you call yourself a Democrat or a Republican. You're just indoctrinated to believe it. That's what happens. You just pick a side because that's what that side is on, and you associate with that side. So there's no critical thinking anymore. And they don't want to hear reasons. They don't want to hear your logic. They don't want to hear you break down the speech and actually dissect it and analyze it because it doesn't fall with the side that they believe on. And they believe that for the majority of their life. So then if they move against that side, then their life has been a lie. That's why I think they get so volatile, so hostile when it comes to that.
The problem that it's hard to sit there and say, I've been wrong my whole life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, told me. It's, I think that's the disillusion. But, you know, this is what I tell Hispanics. Look, there was a time when you thought the sun was a god and the way to save yourself was throwing virgins in a volcano. We've evolved from that. We need to learn how to evolve from everything else either. Also, you know, we got to break that the family chains that, you know, hold us down and realize, look, we are pro-life. We're pro-legal immigration. We came here to have a better life. Yep. And you know what else? We're pro-gun. And to the non-Latinos out there that are listening, just because you see a Hispanic with a gun, that doesn't mean he's a mafioso or he's involved in drugs, okay? That's another thing, that people don't get that. It's so easy.
We understand that the Second Amendment is important. Yeah.
And to a lot of the congressmen out there that don't know any better, all Hispanics didn't come here to pick raisins or pick you know, strawberries. We're here to flourish, and we're here because we love this country as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Sure. Before we run out of time, I wanted to hit on this one real quick because I was telling Daniel that this subject can take us in so many different directions and we can have one episode of just one question alone. So I really wanted to get this one out there because I think it's important for people to understand. So
now you got me, Danny. Now I'm nervous.
Oh, no.
It's free the heat.
I'm sure it's going to have a super logical answer to it, but I think it's the everybody thinks about it. And I'm going to give you a quick example of how I started thinking about it, right? So I was working for this company and it was based out of Texas. And, you know, we would have phone meetings or meetings actually in Texas. And one of my teammates' coworker says, hey, I'm gonna quit and I'm gonna go work for Border Patrol. And his last name was Reyes, not this Daniel Reyes, but some other person, Reyes. And in my mind, I'm like, wait. I wasn't fully awake, keep this in mind. And I go, you're gonna go work Border Patrol, but your last name is Reyes. In my mind, I thought it was just a Smith that was, or a Johnson that was a Border Patrol. Then I started thinking about it and I was like, whoa. And you said it in the beginning of the episode is that, you know, there's Latinos working as Border Patrol agents and things of that nature. So the question is,
are Latinos nowadays? Latinos.
There you go. So the question would be, why
there's so many Latinos now that are in Border Patrol itself? You keep cutting off.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, there seems to be some sort of lag. But the question would be, what is the purpose of a Latino going into that career, you know, as a Border Patrol agent? Are they looking to... Well, I mean, that could be it, right? You know, economically...
I grew up on the border, so I was seeing that all the time, right? And I grew up watching old Western movies and even, like, the Hispanic movies, like Los Hermanos Almada, you know, and all those, you know, goofy you know, Mexican Westerns. And to me, it was a big deal that I wanted to be the good guy. You know, I wanted to be the Lone Ranger with the white hat, even though I wore a black one. I wanted to fight for truth and do the right thing. And at the same time, I didn't really lean towards, you know, a regular police officer, because Border Patrol, it's more of a Wild West thing, more cowboyish. You're more out in the open. You know, you're driving by yourself. You don't have to worry about, you know, domestic calls and a lot of that other stuff. And I just thought it was a lot better, you know, tracking groups and, you know, hunting, you know, individuals that are coming through, bringing drugs into the United States. That was always, to me, a big deal. And I think at the same time, and as corny as this is going to sound to you guys, and as corny as it might sound to a lot of other people, I wanted to actually give something back at the same time. And it wasn't more of just, you know, and I respect everyone that joins the different branches of law enforcement, but at the same time, I had a child very early on, and I just didn't want to leave and not end up, you know, near or around my child. So I really gravitated towards law enforcement because I grew up on the border, and Border Patrol agents were just cool. I thought they were cooler before, though, when they had the old school seafoam green trucks. I'm sure you guys have seen them on Boarding List LA and all those movies. They don't use those no more. They use the white one now. But I mean, it was the right thing to do. And I think a lot of it is that people need to understand that, you know, illegal, for first and foremost, like I said, illegal is not a race. And, you know, we are a melting pot, and there's people from a lot of different cultures that have come here, and they realize that this is where they want to live and they want to respect the laws. And a lot of them, they've joined law enforcement, particularly Border Patrol, because they actually do want to make a difference and they want to break that status quo and show people, look, we're here to defend this country as well. We're here because we care about the way of life here and we want to protect that way of life. And we're not just here to do, you know, destruction.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. And yeah, and that's the thing, like, you know,
go ahead.
What I was going to say is, like, you know, I think a lot of people that do work in the Border Patrol, it is because they are trying to help. It's real people, right? We make it political, right or left or whatnot.
Exactly.
But it's real people we're talking about, real people with real issues. Yeah, there are people that are coming here to get a better life. There are people that are coming in because they could take advantage of the current border situation. But at the end of the day, we're talking about real people both trying to come here and also protecting the border, you know, trying to do a job, trying to keep everybody safe. You know, we hear about it all the time. You know, women come in or kids come in by themselves, either end up, you know, getting trafficked or women get raped, you know, or killed. And it's like, to me, Border Patrol agents are doing what they can to help eliminate that, to keep more people safe, to do things in a way where, you know, if you want to come to this country, you know, there's a right way. There's a safer way than just risking Correct. Your life, let's say, and trying to come up illegally. So, you know, I don't think that, you know, people that work in the Border Patrol get enough credit for the job that they're trying to do. And honestly, the lives that they're really trying to save every day.
I see them as one of the largest humanitarian organizations in the world. I'm very proud when I stand next to these individuals. I will be honest. And, you know, it horrifies me that you hear all the bad stories. But I've seen it. I've seen when, you know, we have a huge influx of children that have come across. I've seen agents buy toys and bring them to the detention facilities themselves. I've seen them bring food. I myself, and I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm perfect or look at me or anything like that. But I've done it many times where I've had my own food that I've given to these individuals when I see them in the desert, and you know, they turn themselves in and they see you and they're happy to see you because they know they've been lost for so long because the drug cartel smugglers have left them there to die. And I've given them my own food. There was one particular group that I arrested. It was about a group of seven very early on in the career. And on the way back, we passed a taco stand and I made a U-turn and I stopped and I actually bought tacos for everyone that was in that van. And I said, here, you know, I know you guys have gone for many days without eating. And I'm driving back to the station. I tell them, I said, when you go back, are you going to tell them that Border Patrol actually bought you food? And they all laughed and they said, we can't do that. We're going to tell them that you guys are mean because that's the story they expect. And if we tell them anything different, they're never going to believe. That part.
Yeah, you know, everybody's scared of la migra.
That's the famous word. El cucuy, la policía, or la migra. That's and that's what I think. So, speaking on our heritage and everything, I've always said, I think that's why Hispanics, as they grow up, we end up being scared sometimes of law enforcement. Because our parents and our grandparents would say, keep this behavior, I'm going to call the police. And it's like, so, you know, you grow up terrified.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
It's definitely part of our culture, yeah. But you see, and what you guys just spoke about is exactly the point that I wanted to make with that question, is that it's not, you know, to capture illegals and necessarily, you know, throw them in jail, you know. It's actually to help people, to Daniel's point. And to your point,
correct,
it's humanitarian, right? It's, you know, people out there, they're dehydrated. I don't even know the statistic of how many people die on the way, you know, trying to come over here, or that have been abused, raped by the cartels. And I just wanted to paint that picture for people that may be listening to this and they get a negative connotation when they hear Border Patrol. And I think it's, in my mind, the three of us believe the same thing, is that the job that the Border Patrol agents do is amazing. I mean, they use heroes a lot now these days with the pandemic, you know? And you guys actually do put your lives on the line. You don't know what you're going to deal with when you go out there, and you may be alone. I don't know how, you know, Border Patrol agents, you know, operate, if they go alone or if they have partners or whatever the case may be, but you don't know what type of danger you're going to be going into. And, you know, you're helping people. That's the way that I see it. The main point is that I wanted people to hear that may be listening to this podcast, and try to slowly chip away at that negative connotation that, you know, Border Patrol has. That was the main point.
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate being on your guys' show. And I hope this isn't the end. I hope that, you know, we can, you know, expand from this and, you know, make it a real good friendship. If you guys are ever down here in Tucson, I'll be glad to take you guys on a border tour so you guys can see the border yourselves down here. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. I'm down.
You guys don't get enough credit yourselves, and I want to thank you. And for the listeners out there that want to follow me, they can follow me. This is where Danny found me. They can follow me on my Instagram page. This is basically what I use. I don't do Twitter or nothing like that. I'm not a Kardashian, so I just Instagram. But they can find me on Instagram at the official Art del Cueto page. And in addition, I also have my own show that's called The Green Line, and that's available through iHeartRadio and Spotify at the same time.
Cool. Make sure you go.
Sorry, we're kind of glitching in and out again. But Art, if you don't mind, what is your show about? You know, so people can tune in.
So the show originally started just about border issues, but I think I put a little bit of a twist on it now. So we still talk about the border issues. We talk about some politics, but I throw in some pop culture there too. You know, and I talk about a lot of other things and a lot of things. I sometimes get you know, a lot of grief for it because I talk about my personal life and my personal experiences at home sometimes. So when I come home, I'll have visitors and they'll say, hey, we heard about this. And then my wife kind of gives me that look. in there, bro. You'll learn a lot about me through that show.
That's nice. Well, you know, hopefully one day we can go out there with you, like you said. And just saying, if I do end up going out there, I'm going to get one of those hats.
There you go, bro. Get yourself a hat. Thank you. God bless you guys. Take care.
God bless you too. Thank you for your time, man. It was good information here. We appreciate it.